Jeremiah's prophecies against Babylon, part 2, from the Testimony magazine of 1993 by Brother Stephen Green. As Babylon inherited the mantle which had been Shinar's many generations before, and Nineveh's more recently, so others have inherited the mantle of Babylon. And there are two broad aspects of Babylonian life and constitution which can be traced in this way and which marked their separation from the true God: their temporal power and their spiritual outlook and practice. In both respects, they showed themselves opposed to the God of heaven. Since Babylon reached its peak, both aspects have been taken over by others. Not always combined in the same proportions, but there has always been a tendency for the temporal power and spiritual domination to work together. The antagonistic political relationship between Jerusalem and Babylon was mentioned earlier. God's kingdom was manifest through Israel, his people, his kings on one side, while the dominion of man, which ideally would comply with God's will as creator, but which in practice manifests opposition to God's kingdom, was manifest through Babylon on the other, with Babylon taking the part of an oppressor. And for successors to Babylon, we therefore look to those who have displayed domination over God's land, his temple, or his people. The image of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, its interpretation by Daniel, and its expansion in the later chapters of Daniel beyond chapter 2 show clearly the initial phases of the inheritance by Medes and Persians, then Greeks, then the Romans. And each of these powers dominated and often oppressed God's land and people, or destroyed or prevented the building of his temple. When we reach the feet and the toes of the image, the details of interpretation become a little less clear, but still recognizable. The center of power became divided between East, Constantinople and the Byzantine Empire, and West, Rome and the Frankish Empire or the Holy Roman Empire. Jerusalem, the site of the temple with the rest of God's land, was trodden down by the Eastern foot. Where were the people of God during this time? Very few in the land itself, but spread over many countries, particularly in Europe, under the Western foot. Therefore, this Western foot legitimately shares the mantle of Babylon with the Eastern one. The final destiny of the image is for it to be destroyed by the divine stone, which crushes it upon the feet, with the whole image becoming like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And further, the wind carried them away, and that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. As has been pointed out by Brother C.C. Walker, some of the phraseology here is reminiscent of that in Jeremiah 51, when the judgment on Babylon is pronounced. Jeremiah says, "Thus saith the Lord, behold, I'll raise up against Babylon and against them that dwell in the midst of them that rise up against me a destroying wind, and will send unto Babylon fanners that shall fan her and shall empty her land. For the day of trouble they shall be against her round about. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor. It is time to thresh her. Yet a little while, and the time of her harvest shall come. And it shall be when thou hast made an end of reading this book, that thou shalt bind a stone to it, and cast it into the midst of Euphrates. This will be the result when the word of God, the stone of Israel, comes in power to thresh and to fan the kingdom of men. And this will be the result when the great man-based and man-constructed mount, that is the destroying mountain, which destroyed the earth, which is H-A-R in the Hebrew transliteration is replaced by a divine mountain. And here the word is T-U-W-R. Tur. So great that it fills the whole earth. Isaiah prophesies of these days in similar tenor, with Israel involved as the threshing machine. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. The two different words for mount or mountain are discovered by comparing Jeremiah 51 verse 25 with verse 53. The place of Israel in this work is confirmed by Jeremiah. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war, for with thee will I break in pieces the nations. The spiritual evils of Babylon were mentioned in discussing the sins for which God's judgment came upon the city and its rulers. The worship of idols, 2,500 names of idols have been found in a list in ancient library records, although that probably includes a fair amount of duplication in actual gods which were worshipped. Their striving against Yahweh, their pride against him, their covetousness, their rejoicing to desecrate and destroy God's heritage, these sins showed their spiritual outlook, the vast mix of devotions. Philosophical ideas and scientific knowledge, which was Babylon's, was subsequently inherited by other peoples, Jews, Persians, Greeks, and Romans, who, while the Babylonians disappear from history, continued the same approach to life, modifying it and developing it further for the glory of man, but always following the principles of the flesh, which Babylon so well represents. Israel's return from Babylon began by pursuing divine principles, but by the time the Lord came, these principles had fallen by the wayside, especially amongst the rulers. Their hearts were back in Babylon. The result was that Jerusalem fell once more to an invading power, and the people were taken into slavery by the current political Babylon, that is, the city of Rome. In the cauldron of the times, the Ecclesia of Christ began a new lease of spiritual life in the principles of the true Jerusalem. But soon, the hidden Babylon, the mystery of iniquity, began to make itself apparent. It is in this context that the Apocalypse was given in symbol to John. Just as the power and glory of Babylon had passed to others, so her spiritual influence continued in false imitation of the true bride of Christ, of which warnings appear in the epistles and the Apocalypse. The Israel of Jeremiah's day had gone too far in their disobedience to God ever to repent sincerely. Therefore, they had to be punished through the Babylonian power and taken to Babylonia, which had already become their spiritual home. In a similar way, the early church came to harden their hearts and eventually became part of the Babylonian way of thinking, using the phraseology of prophecies against Babylon in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, and other prophets. The Apocalypse foretells the judgment of God upon the new Babylon, Babylon the Great, centered for many centuries in the Vatican, from whom again a small remnant only is being saved. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. The allusions being made to the original Babylon and to Jeremiah in this verse are My people, go ye out of the midst of her, and deliver ye every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord. It's Jeremiah 51, verse 45. And my people have been lost sheep. Remove out of the midst of Babylon, and go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans, and be as the he-goats before the flocks. That's chapter 50, verse 6 and 8. And everyone that goeth by Babylon shall be astonished and hiss at all her plagues. That's Jeremiah 50, verse 13. There are quite a large number of allusions to Jeremiah and Isaiah's prophecies of Babylon in the Apocalypse, especially in chapters 14 and 16 through 19. The most prominent feature of the Apocalypse's reference to Babylon is the promise of her destruction. The book of Revelation confirms the general teaching of prophecy that those things which Babylon represented will have an end. The patience of God is remarkable and is shown for the sake of those who will come out from Babylon to him. At the end, the judgment upon Babylon the Great is determined and desolating, because she has laid waste and oppressed the temple of Yahweh. Not the temple at Jerusalem, but the spiritual temple, the ecclesia of Christ. His ultimate vengeance for that pride against Yahweh and that oppression of his saints will be the theme of praise to God. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia! And her smoke rose up forever and ever.